Everybody, welcome to Friday Filibuster, and I actually, if you're listening to this, then perhaps the Mayan apocalypse has not happened, so hopefully you're listening to this. So, Mac McIntyre, what are you doing to get ready for the Mayan apocalypse?
I'm ducking and covering.
Very good, very good. Daryl, Loomis, what are you doing? Down in Texas, you got a bunker, right?
Yeah, oh god, a huge one.
I mean, doesn't the planning zone, the planning boards require bunkers being...
Yeah, full of whiskey and cigarettes.
Yes, good. Eric Ashlager, Ryan Apocalypse plans?
I got my packets of salted peanuts,
yes.
pints of beer, and my towel. I'm
very
all set.
Good. All right. I'm glad you guys are all ready to roll. So let's get right to it, I guess. Mac, why don't you give us an update with any news to report?
Let's see. I haven't seen The Hobbit yet, but I will.
All right.
I have plans to see it. So rumor has it that in the movie, the hobbits will have really big, hairy feet.
That is a rumor.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing if that's true or not. but let's see. One thing I have, I bought myself an early Christmas present. I bought Volume 7 of Futurama on Blu-ray, and I've been going through all of those episodes.
So is this the relaunch of Futurama?
Right. This is the Comedy Central.
Okay.
These are the episodes that aired over this summer. And really enjoying it. Just really great stuff. This season's kind of interesting. It's more low-key than previous seasons. They don't really have those one or two episodes where they really just pull out all the stops and just go nuts. It's more just kind of low-key, character-based episodes from beginning to end. But it's still good. I mean, it's one of my favorite shows. Just the characters and the world and the humor, it just really speaks to me. So, and the commentary tracks are just comedy gold. Having these guys riff on each other is just...
And does Katie Sagal still do the voice of whatever her name is?
Yeah, Leela. Yeah, Leela. She
okay.
Still does it.
All right. Nice. All right. Good. Daryl, how about you? Anything happening?
Not a lot, movie and TV-wise. I did, over the early part of this week, finally watch the second series of the BBC Sherlock
okay,
series.
Which, yeah, I actually have Max copy right here in front of me.
It's a phenomenal show.
It is a great show.
The first three, the first series, the first three episodes were great. These are even better. The way that it finishes off is spectacular.
Yeah, Mac, you loved it too, right?
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, me too. I mean, like the kind of television show that makes other television shows look pathetic, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah,
so good, it just makes everything else.
Robert Downey Jr., it just makes the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movies just look like sad, sad, sad crap.
Yeah, especially the second Robert Downey.
Yeah, and I mean, they're more action-y and, you know, fantastical, and that's all fine and good. I don't have any problem with that. But putting him in the modern day and, you know, staying true to Doyle's stories and the performances, the whole bit, it's just spectacular.
So does that, your experience with Sherlock, does that make you look forward to what Benedict Cumberbatch is going to do in the next Star Trek movie?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's a good actor. You know, I'd seen him in a couple of things before that, before Sherlock, but, you know, he's a good actor. But I think, you know, a lot of it's in the way they write the character. In the way they, you know, make him basically an autistic detective, and he just puts the hammer down on that role.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention Martin Freeman, who's an awesome Holmes.
Yes.
Watson, yeah. You know, I'll have a hard time seeing him as the Hobbit, but...
He's almost, I would say, Cumberbatch is almost as good as Michael Caine was in the Sherlock Holmes role. Without a clue on a Blu-ray release yet, or even a DVD release, we talked about this. We asked about this.
Yeah, it's on a really crappy full-frame DVD.
Okay. Man, see, we need that in Sudden Death to get the treatment. We need the Criterion treatment for those.
Well, Cumberbatch is in The Hobbit, too. Maybe not the first one, but he's
not the first voice... one. Yeah, I don't
okay,
think
yeah.
The first one.
He's the voice of the dragon. So.
Okay, yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Nice. He's gonna make some deductive reasoning about the Hobbit and Walt.
That's
right. Lately.
No, I can't wait till Bilbo and Smaug's first scene together.
Yeah, be great.
I'm gonna drop some Sherlock references for sure.
This is quite obviously Hobbit hair. but yeah, I will say that we haven't heard his voice yet. So, all right, good. Anything else, Daryl?
Nah, that's it.
Eric.
Well, this is probably going to lead into what you'll talk about, Dave, but I finally made my way through all of the extended editions
yes.
of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Took a little over a week, but I made it through. And I really enjoy it. It's weird because like I said last week, I've seen Fellowship of the Ring the most because it came out first, and then Two Towers, you know, second amount. This is the first time I'd seen Return of the King, the extended edition.
That's probably my favorite version. I would say Return of the King might be my favorite extended version.
I haven't gone in and gone online and checked out what the differences were because I wouldn't be able to pick them out since I've only seen the theatrical version once. But the whole thing from beginning to end is just really, there's some stuff that maybe doesn't hold up as well, effects wise, but just the scope of it all and just the sheer, I don't know, immensity and
audacity.
Audacity, it's a great word. It's just amazing that the movies were ever made, and you kind of get the feeling that Peter Jackson's chasing that dragon, pun intended, again with The Hobbit. But
you know what's even more amazing when you even think about it more is like they were shot simultaneously.
Yeah,
you know? Absolutely. I mean, you want to talk about being audacious? Just because if that first one tanks, you know, good night, Sally.
They're in bed with it. I'm actually most amazed that Peter Jackson was ever able to actually do that after Dead Alive and Meet the Feebles and all of these. Awful, not awful, but
I mean, low budget
gory,
splatter,
splatter, drug and sex filled Muppet show.
But you know what? That Peter Jackson is alive and well in portions of Lord of the Rings stuff. You know, like I'll just see scenes and I'll see stuff that you've seen, like, you know, not exact scenes, but the style, like from Dead Alive. You know, I mean, you can tell, like, his love of horror, like, served him well when he got into kind of the orc stuff. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It was great to watch them all on Blu-ray as well. Cause, you know, going back to when they were first made, you know, you watch all the bonus features and see all the work that went into the detailing of the costumes and the weapons and all that stuff. I have to say that stuff really comes through in high def. I think maybe even more than when I used to watch them on a DVD. But I was really impressed in Return of the King. Obviously, the battle sequences are great. Mm-hmm. I for as much as the movie gets knocked for, and I probably, you know, bought into this for a while that it's got so many endings, I didn't really feel like that was the case this time. It seemed like maybe because I knew the scope of what was supposed to happen, but I didn't really get that sort of,
I mean, I could see where people said it, but if you just, like you said, if you look at it as this, I mean, the extended edition running time has got to be at least 10 hours, 12 hours probably, right? Closer to 12 hours?
Like, if you... The last movie was like 4.5.
Yeah, so I mean, it's okay. It's probably 10+, at least 10+ hours. I mean, if you look at it that way, it's such a huge work. I mean, you could do with an extra ending here or there. You know, I mean, you kind of need that to wrap it up. I thought so.
Well, you got the destruction of the ring, and then Sam and Frodo get rescued, and then they crown the king, and then they go back to the Shire and
sail away. Right.
I mean, there's really nothing. If the Ents had shown up, maybe that would have seemed a little weird.
That's right.
I don't know. Just
little kindling kids. Hey, we're all here to visit.
Yeah. They found the Ent wives or something. I don't know. But this is a weird little thing. I really appreciated that when Sam, faces off against Shelob to rescue Frodo, doesn't call her a bitch.
That's good. Yeah, you're right. If it was Michael Bay's Lord of the Rings, yeah.
He does say, get away from him, you filth, which I guess is the middle equivalent, but that is one of my least favorite things in any movie ever. Appreciate it into that. So yeah, I had a lot of fun watching him again.
So so thumbs up for Peter Jackson's restraint and using the vernacular. And he's probably so tempted to do. So nice. Okay. Daryl or Mac, do you guys have the extended editions on Blu-ray?
I do not. I've never watched the extended editions. I just have never been able to bring myself to do it.
It takes a commitment, but there's good stuff in there. There's good stuff in there for sure.
It's one of those, because it's so long, you don't really feel like you have to watch it all in just a few sittings.
That's true. Yeah,
I've come to the point where I really appreciate the intermission and the like breaks. I kind of there's some movies like I feel bad for watching it in three chunks if it's like an hour and a half long. But there are movies like this where it's like, hey, I watch like an hour or so, and then I got to go do something else. Then I come back and watch another one. It's like reading the books. So just take your time, go through it, leisurely pace, like I did.
Nice. There you go. We'll transition. Then I'll pick up the ball that the pass that you sent my way, or can talk about The Hobbit. So I would have to. So I ended up seeing this with a good buddy of mine. We had seen the Lord of the Rings movies together way back when. We kind of loved geeking out and talking about some of this stuff. When I was going to see it, I felt almost more duty bound than anything to see it because I just wasn't psyched for some reason. Maybe King Kong took a lot of joy out of the Peter Jackson experience for me. That might have been a possibility.
That certainly hurt me.
Yeah. So I mean, that took some shine off. I managed to not read The Hobbit in middle school, so I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how that happened. So I'd seen the Ralph Bashke, right? Bashke cartoon, and that was about it. So
yeah, it was great.
It's great, yeah, sure. So I mean, I was like, that's enough. I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, Lord of the Rings is just this monster epic. I loved it so much. I was thinking, maybe The Hobbit is just kind of this appetizer. They're just maybe milking the series or whatever. So that was my favorite mind, just kind of feeling dutifully – being, you know, duty bound to go see this and kind of, you know, a little bit of trepidation. But I have to say, gentlemen, I love this movie. I love it. I saw it yesterday, being Tuesday, since we're recording on Wednesday, and I would have gone to see it again tonight if I convinced my dad to not fall asleep in the theater. So he was sleeping when I came home, so I had to postpone that because I was ready to go see it again. What a great movie. Just really, you're pretty much on the money, you know, when you say, like, this is Peter Jackson's thing. This is right in his wheelhouse. And, I mean, it was funny. It was definitely funnier than Lord of the Rings stuff. I mean, obviously, it's a little heavier stuff maybe in Lord of the Rings, but there was a concerted focus on getting some humor. And it's good. It's whimsical humor. And there's a lot of big stuff that goes on. And again, I was expecting 3 hours of bloat and filler. I am God's honest truth. I did not want the movie to end. It went by so fast. I wanted to keep going because I don't know who builds better worlds than Peter Jackson who's playing around Middle Earth because I get sucked in.
Does it end in a decent way or does it leave you sort of hanging on a thread?
It's got a natural closure, but there's definitely a little cliffhanger, a little stinger at the end, and there's definitely more story to come.
And what's the timetable for the next one?
You know, good question. Are they going year offs on this? I mean, there's three of them.
Right. I think it's next 3 years. Like this year.
Yeah.
Next
so they're
year
doing.
After.
Yeah, they're following that. Yeah, that's what sure. I figured too. So, but I have to say, I'm like, I mean, it's. I would say it's probably even more of an accomplishment for me to be blown away and loving this movie than Fellowship of the Ring, which I think that caught everybody off guard, the degree of awesomeness that movie was, you know? So this, you kind of had gone through that Lord of the Rings experience, and you come into this, and you've seen all this stuff already, and yeah, Peter Jackson maybe isn't the bee's knees anymore, but it was really great. A lot of, he plays it really perfectly. It really feels like part of a bigger story. So there's a lot of connective tissue to the Lord of the Rings movies. Some familiar faces show up, which tie it nicely. This isn't really a spoiler, but he essentially opens up the film, like the moments before Fellowship begins, so which is really kind of cool. And it's kind of told in flashback. Martin Freeman again, shout out to Martin Freeman, perfect as Bilbo Baggins, just perfect, a perfect hobbit. So I don't know. I just really loved it. Thought it was just so great and just a great. You're just sitting there and just kind of soaking in this fantasy world. And I cannot recommend it highly enough. I'm dying to see it again. So
I mean, I know Peter Jackson obviously had more to work with from the outset because of Tolkien's
sure.
books, but it sort of feels like a more successful version of what Lucas has done with his career with Star Wars. In some ways, and that the movies themselves are so well done and so worth seeing and revisiting it years later.
Fewer years than
between Star Wars sequels, but it's like it's a kind of a triumphant return. And
I agree.
And the world itself is so solid. He builds a world with someone else's characters, but builds a world that feels like his own.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's just got so. I mean, it's not saying anything against him, but he's just got so much to work with because Tolkien was such an obsessive about the world. Writing languages and doing everything where it seemed like Lucas was basically writing a world, an outline of a world, and then filling it in while as the screenplay got
read. You have to admit, the prequel trilogy just feels so much – they feel like totally different than the original trilogy, right?
I mean,
like totally everything. So, yes, Hobbit is – it's funnier and it's lighter in some manners, but it – you never – like it's so easy to see how it snaps into place, you know? So – and I'm hopeful about the next two movies because – if anything we learned from Lord of the Rings, you could kind of judge how this thing's going to play out by looking at the quality of the first movie, right? I mean, you have – because these were all shot simultaneously, I believe, right? So I know. I have high hopes for it. Nothing felt like filler. I know that was been kind of a criticism level, but I honestly – when the movie ended, I did not want it to end. I wanted to see more. Like nothing felt like filler to me. And he makes dwarves. It's very dwarf heavy, and they are awesome. And that's probably the most underrepresented race in the Lord of the Rings movies. When you say you got Gimli, and that's pretty much it. And he's essentially your comic relief, right?
Right.
Well, you do have
Eric,
all the.
Did you make that? Did you make? Was it you who made the Orko reference to Gimli?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's like in the second movie, especially, he's just cracking wise left and right. It's kind of like all he does in Two Towers is like make jokes and roll his eyes. And
pretty much. He's a joke maker, as Seinfeld would say. But it's good to see. It's dwarf-orama here, but it's great. There's just a lot of awesome touches because, you know, it's another quest, obviously, and Gandalf's got this company of dwarves, and they're trying to take back their home. So it's very fellowshippy, but it's just they're fun characters and there's little touches that are so great, like Gandalf, after whatever crazy encounter they've all had, he always just does a head count for all of them. You know? It's like, Gimli, Blimli, Blibli, Blibli, you know, just rattles them off. And it's just a nice little touch.
They need the buddy system.
Yeah. It's just a nice touch, and Jackson does great to distinguish these dwarves, and they're all kind of and you know, it was interesting, Richard Armitage, I guess, he's like, he's Thorin Oakenshield, who's kind of, you know, the alpha dwarf here. I don't know if that's an oxymoron, but and I guess he was a guy who was in the running for Aragorn, right? And I think he may have injured himself or something, and that's how Viggo Mortensen got the role, if my memory serves. So it was kind of interesting to see him get this second shot at it, and he's really cool, and it's just cool. And in fact, I mean, just looking at, I know I try not to be super contrarian here, but I have to say, like, I'm surprised at kind of the mixed reactions it's gotten. I know it's got like a 60-odd percentage at Rotten Tomatoes, but even like the positive reviews are, you know, are lukewarm, and the negative ones are pretty hard on it. So part of me wonders, again, I'm like, did I see the same movie? But I don't know, loved it, absolutely loved it.
I mean, people are coming into it kind of skeptical in the first place.
Right, and I was though. I mean, me too. I was ready to be like, okay, this is 3 hours of my life I'm just going to have to endure, which is, you know, talking to me about being cynical, but won over immediately and just sucked back into it. So, yeah. So we'll see. I don't know.
Well, I hope this bodes well for, I think Jackson's next movie after all of this is going to be the next Tintin.
Oh yeah,
movie, because he Spielberg directed the first one and Jackson produced it. And then they're swapping roles for the second one, so they're working together. So I you know if he's coming in strong off of a successful Hobbit, I think he's gonna be a better Peter Jackson than maybe, you know, a less timid Peter Jackson.
That's
than
true. So it has to be said. I'm just like loves his splatter stuff. Didn't like King Kong. Haven't seen his smaller things. You know, obviously he produced some stuff that I like, but I mean, part of me just wonders, like, this is the stuff he was built for, you know? Yeah. This is just his calling right here, so.
Although, I'll never get over King Kong and Naomi Watts sitting on the cliff.
I was talking about, how about the ice skating?
Ice skating.
Oh, God. There's so much awful in that.
You know, I need to rewatch that movie because I remember really liking it, so I don't know. Maybe I should just hold on to those dim memories.
Yeah, hold on to your memories, yeah.
Yeah, hold on to those memories.
Let it be.
Yeah, it's like, see, watching, and that's interesting, Derek, because you said, like, where the Middle Earth stuff lends itself well because it's so rich and you can really get into it. Like, retelling a King Kong does not lend itself to a three-hour epic, you know?
No, King Kong's like a 70-minute movie.
King Kong is, like, lean and mean, you know?
So, yeah. I mean, even the Jessica Lange one is better than that, and that's pretty dumb.
Oh. Wow, he went there. Especially if you're telling me King Kong Lives is even better than that. One of my favorite heart transplant scenes of all time. So. All right. Enough about The Hobbit. Really loved it. probably overhyped it for you guys, but I think you'd like it a lot. I mean, I really have high hopes for it. I think you guys would like it a lot. And, yeah, terrific Gollum stuff in there, too. Terrific. So, okay, stuff for the site, Mac.
Let's see. Oh, I'm working on a review of the I guess it's the complete series of The Legend of Neil. You guys heard of this?
Huh. I've heard of it.
This is a web series that's getting a DVD release. It's written and directed by Sandeep Parikh, who plays Zabu on The Guild.
Oh, I like him a lot. He was very funny on The Guild.
Yeah, he's great. And
he's also fake Abed on the in Community.
That's right.
And so, yeah, this Legend of Neil, this is like his baby. It's pretty simple. It's about a guy named Neil who gets drunk one night while playing Legend of Zelda and gets sucked into the game. And he's dressed up like Link, and now he's one of the characters in the game. And the whole thing is like, it's like pointing out all the absurdities of the old, you know.
Is this Nintendo sanctioned stuff here?
It's unofficial. It's
Do they even name the game, or do they work around it?
No, they call Neil Link, and he's trying to rescue Zelda, and bad guy is Ganon. Oh, okay. They're hiding behind, you know, parody and satire laws.
Okay.
Yeah, but they couldn't show actual gameplay footage, and when they show the game cartridge, they had to change it so it wasn't the actual one.
They use a 3DO cover art instead.
Yeah, I don't know. But the whole thing plays up like the absurdities of, you know, those old Nintendo games, trying to figure out the logic behind them all. And, you know, it's like, why would a map to the dungeon just be lying on the floor of the dungeon that you could just pick up as you're walking along? Why would this weapon that you could use, you know, just be, you know, hiding up on this other part of the dungeon, just sitting there, and so on?
Because the last guy who was in the dungeon was a loser and died.
Oh, that must be it. And as the show really gets better as it goes along. You know, they started filming it just, you know, a couple guys with a camera, just, you know, guerrilla style. And then after it really took off on YouTube, they got some funding and were able to do some more, like, really ambitious stuff in the later seasons. So, the final episode, the finale, is that one episode is longer than all of season one.
Nice.
Yeah, they really got ambitious at the end. They really did some crazy creative stuff. So it gets better as it goes along, but, yeah, mostly it's just this. And Neil is such a jerk. He's, like, such an a-hole. He's just wandering around interacting with all of the characters from Legend of Zelda. It's very funny stuff.
Nice. All right, Daryl.
Shock of the week. I have very little that's going to have very much appeal to anybody.
you never know.
I have a the one thing I haven't watched yet, but I'm very interested in it. It's a an Indian movie banned in India. That is some kind of experimental film about a rapper and his rickshaw driving buddy.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that, and then I've got a Greek movie called Alps by the director of one of my favorite movies in the last couple of years. A very strange family drama called Dogtooth. So I'm very interested in that, but then a couple of documentaries, you know how it goes.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear about the rickshaw stuff. Eric.
I have nothing this week, so.
All right.
Taking a little, you know.
A little hiatus. Break. It's got a little sabbatical.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, today was a weird day. It was a backlog. It was essentially a backlog of reviews I've submitted over the last week. Got vomited up on the site today, so I don't know. what do you want to hear about? Anything? They talked about Collision Earth, right? We talked about that.
There was one I liked the looks of. That.
Yeah, what do you see?
Ultra 7.
Ultra 7, yeah. It is fun. It's part of in the 60s, this is mid-60s in Japan, the Toho stuff is running wild, big monsters, men in suits. Everyone loves it. This is the kind of the follow-up to Ultraman.
Yeah, I reviewed Ultraman a couple of years ago.
Nice. I reviewed the first season of Ultraman, so you may have gotten the second or something? Or?
It was the complete series.
Oh, the complete series. Good.
Yes, a lot.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, lots of Ultraman. So it's similar. I mean, it's pretty much that. I mean, there's the Ultra Seven is essentially an Ultra team of super scientists as they repel alien invaders. And, I mean, you know how it plays out. A Monster of the Week shows up. They do their super research. And then eventually the monster grows huge and Ultraman. Actually, so the guy in this is the original Ultraman's son who shows up from space, mysteriously.
Very good.
But he has all of the Ultraman's powers, including an awesome laser beam on his forehead, which incinerates all manner of foe, yet he never uses it. You know, frequently.
I don't believe Ultraman has that.
Yeah, I think this is a new addition. I think that's
That's the evolution.
That's the evolution of Ultraman. And it's very useful, but he hardly uses it, of course.
Yeah, well, of course. You know, that's why Voltron only, you know, forms Blazing Sword at the very end.
That's
know?
Right. And some
just form the damn thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, you know, how come Hulk Hogan doesn't drop his elbow in the beginning of the match instead of the end? You know, so it's the age of course.
It's a leg drop.
The leg drop, yes, thank you, the leg drop. I'm thinking Macho Man, right? The flying elbow.
Yeah, the flying elbow is the Macho Man.
Thank you, Daryl.
Sorry.
So, I don't know, it's fun to watch, but, you know, what's the audience? I guess nostalgia buffs, but, I mean, you're not going to park a kid in front of this, and, you know, he's not going to like it. First of all, it's subtitled, you know, but, I mean, I just finished... I'm working on a review for the Power Rangers Super Samurai, you know, so kind of in that same realm of the craziness of Ultraman, but it's just nonstop visceral overload and lasers and swords, you know, constantly. Here, it's lots of research and dialogue and an occasional rubber monster and then the fighting at the end. So just don't know if kids today can go through it. So
30-minute episodes?
Yeah, give or take, 24 minutes or so.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's like 18 minutes of plot, 6 minutes of fighting. So.
Yeah.
But fun, you know, good times. But certainly dated. But you appreciate the rubber suits and the toy tanks and all that stuff. So
yeah, I will always love Japanese rubber suit.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah,
stuff.
Yep.
You know, it's always a treat.
It is. That's a good description. It was a treat. So. Okay, Mac, why don't you take us onward?
Okay, we're going to take a look at what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray. Why don't we go ahead and jump forward in time to January 1st. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the DVD releases tab, and hit the cover art gallery for January 1st.
Wow, all right.
And take a look what's on the list here. Probably the big release of the week is Looper.
Yes.
Which was really good, surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear the really good reviews of it. I haven't seen it. I will, but I was very surprised.
It's not what you expect. The ground constantly changes as you're watching it. So you think it's one kind of movie, and it changes completely. So it's good.
And the other person pointing guns cover right nearby there is Justified Season 3.
Yes. Which I think a great season, I thought. And,
yeah, I agree.
You know, got back. I think we've talked about this at length, but second season kind of wobbly in some parts. I thought this one really kind of recaptured that.
So on this cover is Timothy Oliphant shooting the Memorex guy?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Okay.
I would say a very memorable villain. Justified has a Neil McDonald. Dunno or whatever.
Yeah.
A great villain. So a lot of good stuff here.
Got the new David Cronenberg movie Cosmopolis, which. I haven't seen, but I've heard very mixed things about. But I will still watch it.
Being Human, that's your stuff, right, Eric?
That's that looks like the American version.
Yes, that's the Sci-Fi Channel.
So,
gotcha.
No, Dave.
Yes, that.
You're a purist, Eric.
I just haven't seen the new one.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, actually, you have because the new one is like a shot-for-shot, word-for-word remake of the English one.
Oh wow! I'm always fascinated when they do that.
Huh. Love it. I didn't notice this before, but the complete series of In Search Of is in a nice little collector's box. Did you guys ever watch that when you were kids?
I vaguely remember it.
Yeah. I watched that every single week. I was probably more familiar with Leonard Nimoy from that than from Star Trek.
I'm sure.
That was a fantastic show with fantastic narration. It's 21 discs. Of stuff about Bigfoot and Atlantis and all sorts of rad stuff.
Nice.
I'm a sucker for Bigfoot. I don't know why. Anything Bigfoot related, I just,
You too like Harry and the Hendersons, don't you?
Well, yeah.
You brought up Harry and the Hendersons once in a while. So
I might, I've seen it, but it's not so much that I love, like, Bigfoot related media. It's I keep waiting.
The mystery of Bigfoot.
I keep waiting for the day that they actually discover Bigfoot for real. I don't know why.
They found the giant squid. They found the giant squid. You know, right? It's all possible.
Yeah. Do you feel like when they do find Bigfoot, you think it'd be super anticlimactic?
Probably will, because it's going to turn out to be another YouTube fake.
That's right. The eagle.
Super giant baby.
How about feet? The Pilates thing right next to Putin's kiss.
You sure it's not supposed to be fit?
It's probably fit, but I'm pronouncing it the way it's looking.
Feet. Yeah. Makes your feet look very nice.
Yes, that's right.
It's Pilates high intensity interval training, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Feet.
All right. Man. Lazy Town is still being made? okay. All right. End of early season, how did you release of the week? Good luck. Hopefully you got something, Mac.
Let's see.
It's not easy.
I'll go to our old friends Yo Gabba Gabba with There's a Party in My City.
That's good. I just thought about it. Is this a samurai sword, like, you see this, the samurai sword thing?
Aiedo?
Yeah. Aiedo cutting in basic sword techniques.
Wow. Does it come with a sword that you can practice?
That would be great, yeah.
Sure it does.
Sure it does. That's why it costs $6,000. okay, Daryl, what do you got?
We're going to go with Fluffy Did It Again.
Yeah, that's
good. So bad.
Eric?
I don't think this is supposed to be sleazy. It might be, you know, a little suggestive. I'll go with Bedroom Body.
That's good.
That's it's a fitness DVD, so I don't think they're going right for sex.
Nice. All right. Then I got nothing. How about We Love Our Friends?
There's two other ones that are worth mentioning.
Yeah, please do.
Animal Odd Couples.
That's good.
That's good.
And then you can just simply say Greg Allman. I know. And then you can just simply say Greg Allman.
I just love the picture of Animal Odd Couples.
No, it's great.
You know that right after that picture was taken, that dog was torn to shreds. okay. Ambush Topics. Let's do this up. Big Willie style. Derek, go ahead. Derek.
Which one?
Keep doing it. Go.
Me?
Yeah, you, Derek.
All right. Town slogans.
Town slogans? Like fake towns?
Yeah, like movie or TV town slogans.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Right. Parks and Rec's got a lot of them, so.
I'm sure, yeah, I must.
They had a whole litany of them.
Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to remember the one they had when they were taken over by the cult temporarily.
Yeah, when the Nazis were coming.
That's right. I might have to Google that one.
I got it. Okay, I got it. I cheated and I Googled it real quick.
Fine.
But in The Simpsons, good old Springfield, USA, is the city without a slogan.
Good.
Oh, in another episode, it was the classic, a noble spirit embiggens the smallest man.
That's a great one. Yeah. That is a great one.
Okay, I'm going to cheat, too, and I'm going to say I found a site that has all the Parks and Rec slogans. I'm just going to run through them real quick, all right? Because I'm going to steal. If you had a Parks and Rec one, I'm going to steal it. So here they are. They're pretty funny. The Paris of America. The Akron of Southwest Indiana. Let's see. Welcome, German soldiers. The factory fire capital of America. Welcome, Vietnamese soldiers. Engage with Zorp, which was,
yeah, that was
Zorp
cool.
Is dead. Long live Zorp. welcome to Pawnee. It's safe to be here now. Pawnee, birthplace of Julia Roberts. Pawnee, home of the world famous Julia Roberts lawsuit. Pawnee, welcome Taliban soldiers. Pawnee, first in friendship, fourth in obesity. That's the last one.
All right.
Well,
my search for Erie, Indiana's town slogan is fruitless. So I'm gonna go to an actual town slogan, but which was featured in a TV show. The slogan, or I guess the nickname of Scranton, Pennsylvania, is the Electric City. And there was the Dwight and Michael Lazy Sunday takeoff.
Yes.
That's right. Yes.
They call it what? The Electric City. They call it that because of the electricity.
Nice to say.
All right, I'm going to jump back to the Simpsons.
Yes.
When Homer is talking about the water in the city, and says, "We have a saying here in Springfield: if it's brown, drink it down; if it's black, send it back."
Very nice. That's a saying. That's a colloquialism from Springfield, right?
That's the same thing.
Okay. Well, that's your ambush topic. What am I saying? Okay, Mac, what do you have?
Okay, well, I was wrapping up some Christmas presents and with some Spider-Man wrapping paper. That got me thinking, what fictional characters would you like to see on a holiday wrapping paper? Or conversely, which ones would you not want to see on festive holiday wrapping paper?
Not want to see Freddy Krueger on wrapping paper.
That's not bad. Yeah, that'd be like with what? Like with the long arms, maybe?
Yeah.
So his long arms are like the ribbons that go right around.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be some fine wrapping.
I'm going to be a fan of Mola Ram on the wrapping paper. I don't think he really brings in the kind of spirit we're looking for.
Yeah, I'd be too afraid there'd be a beating heart.
It would be a beating heart, yeah. All right, maybe he's holding up like the tag that says, from Kali to Daryl.
I'm going to go with the enslaved podlings in From the Dark Crystal. I think when you're buying gifts for people and kind of generally engaged in luxuries of the holidays, you don't want to be reminded that any race was subjugated by another and having their life essence sucked out and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's just kind of a downer.
Because, when they're hanging out their little village, they're a lot of fun. But, once they're captured, they're getting their life sucked out of their eyes.
That's not fun.
Yeah, that's pretty dark.
But you could have that, and then inside the gift is like a copy of Birth of the Nation. Just take the whole thing home.
All right, Mac, to you.
Oh, we're back to me. I was thinking you could have the Navi from Avatar on your wrapping paper with messages about how it's wrong to use paper because that destroys the trees.
Yeah, well, they'd be total buzzkills, all those Navi.
Exactly. They guilt trip you for your holiday wrapping.
And you can open it up and it'll be a donation has been made in your name to the Human Fund. That's all. All right, I'll go next. But, I can't believe we haven't mentioned this news, by the way. March 12th, 2013, Willow on Blu-ray.
Yes. Yeah. They made a special trailer for it.
Trailer with deleted scenes and new commentary and a video diary Warwick Davis shot when he was on. So, look at that.
A lot of low angles.
Wishes do come true. So, yeah, very low angles. Yeah, a lot of stern looks from female cast members. All right, so okay, I'll go next here. With the apocalypse coming, visions of the apocalypse in movies or TV shows that would suck to live in.
All of them?
All of them would be pretty rough. Huh? I suppose they could say if you had to choose one, I guess. But. Oh yeah, there you go. If you have, fine. Daryl threw it on the gauntlet. I'll pick it up. If you had to choose an apocalypse to live in, choose one.
I'm gonna go. It's not in movies or TV. It's in video games. I'm gonna go with the Fallout universe.
Ah, okay, I gotcha. Although you can build stuff, right? There's so much stuff you can build.
Yeah, you can build stuff, and there's other people around, and you can always run around in the vaults, and there's some funny stories in those. There's funny stuff going on in that. I would take that.
Okay, it's good.
Of course, classic. Example of post-apocalypse cinema is, of course, Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Okay.
Oh, God.
How's Frogtown looking for you these days?
It's humans are few and far between. The mutant frogs rule all. And but fortunately, they've got the half human, half frog strippers in their little strip club there. And, you know, human female from the neck down, frog from the neck up.
Of course.
And human males are very scarce, and they're in high demand for the human females, which says to me that maybe that would be the post-apocalypse that I'd want to be in.
Nice.
Even though I'm not as ruggedly manly as Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Did he have a frog head?
No, he was the human.
Oh, straight human, yeah. Not sexy in that age.
I guess I'll go with the post-apocalypse that Burgess Meredith ends up in the Twilight Zone.
I have no idea what you're referring to, so I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, you know, the classic Twilight Zone episode where Burgess Meredith loves to read.
Okay.
And then there's they drop the bomb while he's napping in a bank vault because he's trying to steal away to read something. And he loves to read, and everyone's hounding him, and he can't find a spare moment to do it. And then the bomb drops, everyone dies. It's just him alone in the world, and he finds a library full of books.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
You really don't know this, Dave? I'm really going
to... Okay.
There's a surprise twist.
There's a surprise twist.
Keep it going.
If you don't want to know it...
No, bring it on. I'm woefully uninformed when it comes to Twilight Zone.
He's sitting down, ready to read his first book. He reaches over to grab something. Mm-hmm. His glasses fall on the ground and break.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Rod Serling for you right there.
Yeah, yeah. I wear contacts, so I'd be fine. So I
Unless
think
you drop your contact.
That's what I'm going to do. Oh. Now that would be a double twist.
It is a great episode.
Diabolical.
That's definitely a great episode of a great of one of the great shows of all time, in my opinion.
And a killer on Blu-ray too. Pick it up if you don't have it.
I should. The whole thing is how many discs? Do you know offhand?
Well, they're each season's got like three or four.
Oh, okay.
Discs
season by season. Okay.
Yep.
Well, since I changed mine, I'll look at both ends here. But I guess if you enjoy the nautical experience. Living in a water world wouldn't be terrible. You know, I mean, cool.
Drinking, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, the drinking and that and whatnot, so, which is why...
Having
gills would be cool. I mean, on the other side, yeah, you're living in those cramped locations. You're selling pots of dirt to people for... And then you're right next to, like, that weird toxic sludge graveyard. And then you just fall into that and it's over. And then you got the ever-present threat of... Dennis Hopper on a jet ski. So I guess actually it would suck. There's no redeeming quality in that world at all.
Technically, Dave, we live under that threat right now.
No, that's true. Dennis Hopper threat level at? What color are we at right now? He's no longer with us, is he?
Yeah, threat level zero now.
Level zero. Okay, oh, sorry, DH. Too soon? Too soon. Okay, so... After those hilarious Dennis Hopper's dead jokes, let's move on to Eric. Go ahead, finish us off. All right.
Well, the new Star Trek trailer came out this week, and obviously speculation running rampant as to who Benedict Cumberbatch might actually be playing in that movie. The identity of the villain. There's a lot of speculation that it's Khan and all these other guys, but who is the least likely Star Trek character that he will be playing in that movie?
I haven't watched any Star Trek in ages.
Oh, fine, Eric.
The least likely Star Trek character or villain?
I'm going to go with the alien that Kirk beats up in Star Trek 6, where he's imprisoned, and he hits the alien in his knees, which are where his genitals are located.
His glowing genitals.
His glowing genitals on his kneecap. Yeah. It's a
rough place to have your genitals.
It's an iconic scene, yeah. So I don't. I guess that race.
Feel down to know. To,
yeah, that
to,
race isn't known for its, its grouting ability. So
watch out for table corners.
I mean, either you'd never kneel or you'd kneel all the time.
Depends on the sensor. Yeah.
Well, now Eric, a while back on the show, you had us all pick something to not reference again in Ambush Topics. And my thing that I picked was Star Trek.
Right, well,
so I'm at an ethical crossroads.
That's where we can expand it. So a non Star Trek character for you, Mac, the least likely of anything he could be.
Okay.
It could be a mashup. You could throw some other J.J. Abrams. I don't know. You're a creative fella.
I say Luke ban. I'm interested. I want to hear this. I want to hear Max Star Trek Insight. Can we do a temporary ban lift?
We can. Okay, I'll give you this. I don't know what you might call it now. Exception, injunction.
Nice. I don't know. Abatement.
Sure, abatement.
Well, my favorite Star Trek aliens are, of course, the Packlets.
Of course.
The ones who have all the advanced technology, but who are too dumb to know how it works. So they contact the Enterprise and you know, the Geordi LaForge is saying, you know, well, what's wrong with your warp core drive and your dilithium crystal matrix? And the pack would say, it broke.
It's like my dad trying to figure out Netflix on his Blu-ray player.
Exactly. And so Geordi beams over there and he's working on the machines. He's fixing everything. And the pack is just saying, oh, he is smart.
How they end up with this technology? Was it, like, given to them?
Well, it's just that in the future of Star Trek, everything is, like, so user-friendly that anybody can just, you know, pick up the tech and do whatever with it.
All right.
So that's why these guys ended up out in space.
And, spaceships and Star Trek spaceships are like iPhones.
Right.
That's true.
Except when they break down and then they keep – yeah, they say –
true
they
words.
Say Geordi, he is smart and he will make us go. Like, for weeks after that episode, my friend and I would always go around wherever we went. We would just say to people, oh, he is smart. He makes us go.
All right. I got to hear. Let's wrap it up, Eric.
Daryl. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just going with really simple. Benedict Cumberbatch is not playing a Tribble.
Nice.
There you go. That was actually on my list, so I'm glad I had some backups there. Not a Tribble. So I'm going to go with not – that he's least likely to be Gorn, the Gorn from the original series of Star Trek, that lizard creature.
The legendary fisticuffs, right?
Absolutely, that's a great fight scene. Or I guess since he plays Sherlock Holmes in, you know, the show Sherlock, he could be the Sherlock Holmes from the
From the holodeck.
That's a twist.
That would actually be funny. That would actually be a really funny addition to the new movie. They threw
the darkness that they're going into can be the holodeck before they turn it on.
And just waste all their time running around Sherlock Holmes stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Triple.
That's true.
Or Whoopi Goldberg. He's probably not Whoopi Goldberg either.
Probably not, but she wasn't quite a villain.
I don't know. I'm going to have to, after I survey all these answers, I'm going to claim the trophy for best answer with General Kneeman. So I think General Kneeman wins out on this, gentlemen.
His name was actually General Kneeman.
All right.
General Kneeman sounds like a Star Wars character.
He does.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, let's wrap this delightful Friday Filibuster up. And we don't have a direct date, but we will be doing the Buster Awards very soon, within the next few weeks, we promise. So we'll get cracking on that. But beyond that, enjoy the Yuletide season, everybody. I can't believe we didn't do any Christmas-themed ambush topics.
I did.
You,
I did the Christmas
the wrapping paper. I'm sorry,
it's
Max.
It's true.
And we did the post-apocalypse, so that's...
That's not bad.
Yeah. We were super topical.
We were actually more topical.
We were really on
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah. That's true. So, okay. Friday Filibuster, DVDvert.com is the email. If you're interested in sending us an email, Mac, take us away.
He is smart. He will make us go.